going through the book of Acts. We are right in the book, are going to be beginning Acts chapter 5 this week. Last week, we got to see as Joseph Barnabas, he gave, sold a plot of land. He gave it to the apostles. He laid it at the apostles' feet. It says that he gave the whole amount, that he gave that to the Lord. But then today we see maybe another side of that story. We see that there's times in our lives, there may be times in your life where we're all in and we go all in for God. And just in case you're worried, money, I think God could speak somebody to someone today and he could ask you to sell something, just like Barnabas, right? He could do something in your life like that. But I think way more, and every single day, is, Lord, am I willing to give everything to you every single day? Am I willing to offer my heart, my relationship, who I am? Am I willing to give all of me to you? Because if so, I think I'm not going to have a problem with my finances or a problem with standing up and praying for someone or believing for a miracle in someone's life. I believe that I'm not going to have a problem aligning my behavior with the word of God. I believe that I'm not going to have a problem getting into what he has. But if my heart is not aligned with his, then I'm kind of on my own. I'm kind of going to do what I want, going to do whatever comes to my mind. And this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 5. Verses 1 through 16, and beginning here with the first 11 verses. It says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. He kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but it sounds quiet in here. That's pretty heavy. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad that there's not been a day when Jesus or Peter or Pastor Dave was up here and was like, I don't think you told the full truth, and I die. Because if so, I'm pretty sure all of us would be dead. I feel fairly confident that we'd be in big, big trouble. So I'm thankful, number one, that when we see here, this is New Testament. Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit has been sent. I'm thankful, I guess, that it's possible that we could go against what God says. We could go against, we could lie to him, to the church, to the Spirit, and we could just die. I mean, that's how the word says. It's New Testament. It could definitely take place in our life. I'm also very thankful that I've never experienced or seen that happen in person, because I don't think that would go over so well with the news. I'm not sure how that would look, but right, the cops would come in and say, what happened? Well, he lied, and then he died. Right? Yeah, right. That's exactly right. What? You know, now, I'm all in. If God does anything, we're going to figure out and deal with it with grace, but I hope that is not something we ever have to deal with. In fact, if you're planning on dying, I hope it's not here. Like, when you're going to breathe your last, I hope it's somewhere else, because I think that would be just a little messy. I'm not sure what that looks like, right? And I believe in our life, though, the principles that we find here are so incredibly important. I believe that if we want to see and we want to walk in a miracle-working sort of way, like I believe over and over we've seen the first five chapters of Acts, we've seen that we're called to do. We're seeing that we can be empowered to do. We have to have our heart aligned with the things of God. And we have to believe that God can do anything. We've got to believe that he can move in might and in power. And in fact, I'm in the middle of an Old Testament class. And as I've learned and studied the Old Testament, there is a whole lot of fear, a healthy fear that is talked about in the Old Testament throughout. In fact, the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's something that happens when we realize that I need to have a healthy fear of God. Not a fear like I'm hiding in the corner and I never move sort of fear, but a fear that I would say, I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to go against his word. I don't want to be something that causes someone else to stumble or fall. I don't want to be someone that, even in a church setting, looks or acts more spiritual than I am because it makes me look good when all of a sudden I have thrown my heart out of alignment with God. I know in my own life, when I was growing up and still to this day, I was never a big fan of disappointing my dad. That was a high priority to not do. In fact, I would like to think, I hope, in some ways, I was a pretty easy kid in a lot of ways because I didn't want to do things that went against my dad or that would hurt him, and I didn't want to do things that would go against God. There was a healthy reverence, a healthy fear to say, Lord, I want to do all I can to serve you, and I think it's a pretty big deal to honor our father and mother. The Bible makes it pretty clear, and I want to have a healthy fear of what's important. Of who God is. I want to have a healthy fear of my parents. Students, all of you need to look at me. Do you hear that? You should have a healthy fear of your dad and your mom, right? Healthy fear. So that you'll do what you should do, a healthy fear of God. In this story, we see a few things that I think that just pop out at us. The heart of miracles. To walk in miracles, I believe we see that alignment is necessary. Now, I'm a huge NASCAR fan. A few weeks ago, we had 16 of us that went to a NASCAR race. It was a blast. I hope all the guys that went had a good time, but it was a lot of fun. But I love NASCAR because NASCAR is not only a bunch of cars driving with left turns all day long for 3 or 4 hours. That is a part of it. That happens a lot. But there's so much that takes place. I love it when one car wrecks into another car in any form or manner. It's great. It's really great when it's at a huge mega, a big speedway, 2.5 mile track, and like 14 cars get wrecked out at one time. It is just like a demolition derby going 200 miles per hour. It's really, really fun. I like it. But it's amazing that sometimes these cars just might touch wheels, or they might just barely bump into the wall. Just enough that you don't even see it. It almost, you could not even notice. But all of a sudden, the alignment of that car gets off, maybe just a little bit. In fact, most of them have an orange piece of tape that's on the top center of their steering wheel that should be in the middle if you're going straight. And all of a sudden, you'll hear them come through the radio, and they say, I'm an inch off my steering wheel. All of a sudden, center is no longer center. All of a sudden, the alignment is off. Now, if you're me and you like wrecks in NASCAR, you love it when a car gets the toe off a little bit, the tire kind of at the wrong angle. You love it when the alignment gets off because you know what that means? It means tires are going to wear faster. It means tires have a really good chance of blowing up. And when you're going 100 some miles per hour, 200 miles per hour, if you get a little flat tire, it's not a little flat tire. You go careening into the wall or into other vehicles. To me, it's fun. It's exciting. And when alignment is needed, it's tough. Alignment, when it is needed, a lot of times they'll take a pit stop. A lot of times they might have some dude, some big guy with a big sledgehammer. They're underneath the car just beating stuff, trying to put it back into alignment, trying to bend things back in place. If they don't get the car aligned properly, they basically have no chance of winning that race. It's not going to happen. If their tires are no longer flat on the road, alignment is necessary if you're going to win, if you're going to see God move, and if you're going to see miracles in your life. It is simply required to have a heart aligned with God's, to have a heart of miracles. Verses 1 and 2 talk about Ananias and Sapphira. They sold this piece of property. They both knew what they were doing, and they only brought a portion of it to the Lord. And when I've been thinking about this, it is so easy. It is so easy to come to the Lord It's way easier to say, I give you everything. It's easy in a worship service to sing the words on the song, on the screen. It's easy to say, Lord, everything I give you, my heart, everything, I'll do anything for you. But it's a whole lot easier when the rubber meets the road and when I've got to make big decisions and I've got to decide what I'm going to do. It's a whole lot easier to actually do it. It's a whole lot easier to say, Lord, I believe in your word. I've got a biblical worldview. I want to know your word. It's a whole lot more difficult than when all of a sudden what I want to do doesn't line up with his word. When all of a sudden what I think would be fun doesn't line up with his word. When all of a sudden I'm like, it'd just be a little bit easier if I just kind of fudged a little here and took a little off here. And all of a sudden my alignment with the Lord, instead of being straight to him, begins to veer off just a little bit. And all of a sudden, I think in each one of our lives, at various points of our life, alignment is simply necessary. In fact, I would go out on a, I don't know, maybe a small limb and say that each one of us this morning, there's an area in our life where we could say, Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I need you just to tweak my life. I need you to tweak my mind or my emotions. Lord, I need to tweak maybe my anxiety. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I need you to tweak this relationship. Or I need to help you. Help me, Lord, with my parenting. Or help me, Lord, with even what I feel about people. Or help me, Lord, just to love people that I don't understand. Lord, help me to walk in you. Now, I know this is dangerous, and we're not going to talk politics. But yesterday, we were talking politics. Some guys were playing golf. And I love it. I love all things life. Politics are a part of life. But the thing that I just kept coming back to is it doesn't matter what party you're a part of. It doesn't matter whether you like open borders or closed borders. You only want a certain number. If we lose the love for people, no matter how many people are near us, if we lose the love for people that are in our vicinity, then we've missed the whole point of what God wants to do. We've missed the whole point of who he is. We've missed the whole point of what he wants to speak and how he wants to move through us. And that's a big issue politically, but maybe in our own life, we say, well, I really don't want to help that person because they did this to me or they did this to someone else, or I'd rather someone else pray. It's easy to get in a place where maybe I wouldn't actually say those things, but my actions show I might be a little bit off in my heart. My alignment to the things of God, my alignment with him may not be where it should be. And I also find it interesting in this first couple verses that it wasn't just Ananias, but as a couple, they chose that they were going to lie. As a couple, they chose to bring some of the money. And at the very least, I would say probably they said it, but at the very least imply that they brought all of the money. Here's the money that we brought from this sale. There's something, they did this together. And I believe it is a reminder to us that even in our life, when we are together with somebody else, decisions other people make that we allow, we're now complicit with it. We're a part of it. We have to watch what happens around us, what happens in our home, what happens in our job. We've got to ask the Lord to give us wisdom to navigate life as he would have us to navigate it. Not to take a little here, to it's just a little bit off course, but to say, Lord, I want to see what you have come forth through me, which means I'm not giving anything. I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay on your path. Chad Fisher says, when it comes to God's word, we've got two choices, obey it or disregard it. Those are our only two choices. You can obey his word, you can put his word in you, or you can say, no, thank you. The thing we can't do is ignore it. I believe there's a choice in our life. Are we going to listen to what the word of God says? Are we going to do what the word of God says? Or are we going to say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to disregard what you say. God, I'm going to disregard what your word says. I'm going to disregard what your truth is. But ignoring it isn't really a thing that you do because you either accept or you don't. And in our life, in the situations of our life, alignment is required if we want to walk in miracles, if we want to see God pour himself out in our life and through us, if we want to, actually, I believe, if you want to walk in wholeness and peace and joy, if you want to walk in a place where you feel good about where you are, I believe we must be aligned with the things of God. Because then it doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter what my house looks like or how great my car is or maybe how dead my car is. I can still keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I can still say I'm aligned with him, and none of that stuff really makes any difference because I know my God is going to come through. He's going to help me, and sometimes it may not happen when I want. It may not happen how I like it to, but I can rely on him because I'm aligned with him. I haven't let money or finances or my own desires or what I want to do or anything that would come against his word get in between me and him. I've chosen to obey his word. I've chosen to align myself with him. But I think that we see that alignment, more than only being necessary, is that alignment is painful. Verses 3 through 4 and then 7 through 9. It said, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Whew. Now, if you can just imagine this real fast. If I just picked somebody out in the room, I had you come up here, I knew some dirt on you, and then I told you this in front of the group. Like, why has Satan caused you to do this? Why have you allowed this to take place? Why did you lie? Or why did you, right? I don't think anybody in the room is like, I want to be that person. I want to go up there. Just come on up here. And they're going to, it's not like a game show. It's not like you're winning anything. Alignment is painful because of alignment, it takes the sledgehammer. It takes wrenches. It takes things in cars. And in our life, it takes being open to the things of God. Prayerfully, we hear God and we just need little tweaks and we can let God do those things. But sometimes alignment takes a brother or a sister. It takes a friend. It takes someone coming up and saying, hey, the word of God, maybe you should look at this verse. Maybe you should look at what this says. Maybe you should look at this principle. It takes someone that might have to correct you. It takes someone that might have to come and correct me and say, have you thought about this? Or are you off track here? And maybe it even takes someone saying and calling out, there's sin in your life. There's something you have to fix. There's something that God wants to do. And am I willing to take the pain that comes with aligning my life to the things of God? It's a big question. It's not just an easy, yeah, I want that. It's easy to say it. But am I really open to letting someone speak truth and life into my life? Am I really open to letting God move? Am I open to having a Peter in my life who will bring you up and say, I think we're missing it. I think we're missing the point. I think we're missing what God is doing, even to the point of why has Satan filled your heart? I pray no one ever comes and that's something they can say that is right. But I also pray that if I ever get off track, I pray somebody would have the guts to come up and say, you're off track. Even if they say it like Peter, why has Satan filled your heart? God wants to keep us on track, and it's painful sometimes to get realigned. It's painful to say that everything I thought before, all of a sudden, it doesn't match what the word would say, so therefore I need to give up even what my own thoughts were in some cases and say, God, I'm going to let your truth become my truth. I'm going to let your future become what I'm going to walk in, not what I thought in the past. I find it also very interesting that he says, while the land remained your own, was it not yours? And after it sold, was it not in your own control? Ananias and Sapphira could have come and just given 3/4 of the property of that land or half of the property. They could have been upfront about it, and I don't think there would have been a problem. I think they could have been blessed. They could have experienced a great thing of God because they were obedient. If they were obedient to what God said. But when I decide I want to experience something different, or I want more, or I want to look like Barnabas, who he got all the praise and all the glory for coming and laying that at their feet. His story got put in the Bible. That's pretty cool. I want the same thing to happen in my life. Then all of a sudden, I get my heart out of alignment. Not because a huge gift that's a little smaller is not good. That's great. That is awesome. But because my heart no longer is in alignment with God, I no longer care what he's saying, but I'm caring about the glory or the honor that people will give me. Why have we conceived those things in our heart? But I believe the pain of aligning our hearts with God is far superior to living out of alignment, separated from his guidance. And if I could say anything, it is a whole lot better to get the car in NASCAR fixed so you can drive fast than to keep trying to get around the track with a busted up car that isn't going straight. It does not work. And in our life, if we will allow the pain that it takes, the work that it takes, the effort that it takes to get aligned to the things of God, then all of a sudden his guidance, his blessing, his mercy can be poured out upon us again. And we can say, this is great. A little bit of work, a little bit of effort, and all of a sudden we're realigned with God and we can drive, we can go, we can live, we can fulfill the purpose that God has placed in our heart. I must let God move. I must let God speak. I must not forget who he is and what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I must be aligned. I must go through the pain. It's necessary. And just to reiterate the point, alignment is required. We've already read these verses. And once again, I'm so thankful that we don't see this too much or ever really happen today. But verses 5 through 6 and 9 through 11, it says, "When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him." And then verse 9, "Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." Now that verse, I don't even know that verse needs to be there, because I think there's definitely great fear when something that like that takes place. But alignment in our life is not something we choose. Do I want to just kind of, do I want to kind of go the right way? It's not that far out of alignment. It's not that against his word. It's just dating this guy, or it's just doing this I know I shouldn't, or it's just a little bit more of anything, excess in anything that isn't what God would have us to do. Getting out of focus on God, and all of a sudden I'm veering off from where I should be. Alignment is required, or else we find ourselves spiritually where Ananias and Sapphira found themselves, literally. We find ourselves dead inside. We find ourselves separate. We find ourselves hurt and wounded. We find ourselves in a place where it's difficult to get back to where we should be. I was having a conversation just this morning that it's hard that when we know where we're supposed to go and we get out of that, the longer that we're out of that spot, the longer that we're in sin, or the longer that we're just not focused on God, it becomes more difficult to get our focus back. It becomes more difficult. I want to be someone that I realize alignment with Jesus is required. And if I get just a teensy bit off, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get it back right. I'm going to get my theology and my wisdom and my guidance from the word. And I'm going to say, I will do nothing that isn't online with Jesus. And when I have somebody come and say, hey, I'm not sure if that's it, then I'm going to take those words. I don't care how painful or how much it hurts or how much I didn't realize. I'm going to say, is that the word of God? And if I realize that is truth, then I'm going to take what one of you or any person or the voice of the Spirit in my life, and I'm going to say it's required. I'm going to get back on track, no matter what it takes, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what pain might be involved. I am going to be on track with what God is doing, because I'm not going to find myself falling down dead in a service, or maybe spiritually, what we would see more, way more often is, I'm not going to do it. And I pray that as a church, as individuals in this room, that's what we say. It's required. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the pain, and I'm going to be in alignment with the things of God, which means I believe that I'm going to be in alignment, and my heart is going to be ready for miracles to take place anywhere I go. I'm going to be aligned with God, which means I'm going to be in tune to hear a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, that I should be ready to go to proclaim Jesus, to bring people into the church family, and by church family, I mean God's family, and then bring them here as well, that I should be called, and I am called to be a missionary everywhere I go, to be an evangelist, to see people come to know the Lord. I am going to be in alignment with God. And when I am in alignment, everything changes. Everything changes, and I can make a difference. I'm also going to realize that no level of service or offering takes the place of a heart aligned with Jesus. There's nothing I can do to earn alignment. There's nothing I can do to mask the issues of my life and say, well, now I've given enough, or I've done enough, or I served at every single service this week or this month or this year. It does not matter. A heart aligned with Jesus is the only thing that puts us on the path that he has for us. I love people that you serve a ton, but I pray it's not because you're covering something up in your life. And if so, let's get that taken care of, because then your service will be so much more fun. It'll be so much more lively because it'll be what God has for you rather than to mask something that you feel in your heart. No level of service or offerings take the place of a heart aligned with Jesus. We must align ourselves. It's necessary. It's painful, but it's required. And I pray that we are willing. I have about 8 more minutes, and then we're going to pray. We're going to get to the altar. And the part that I have not read this morning is my favorite part of the last couple weeks. Because I believe that when we have people like Joseph Barnabas, who he comes, he sold land, he gave everything. He gave all that he had to the Lord. He gave what he said he would give. I believe he gave what God called him to give. And then you've got Ananias and Sapphira, who they had heart issues. They had issues, and to the point where they literally died and they were buried. They were removed, I would say, like a cancer from the congregation, from the church. Now, real fast, you might say, why in the world did they die? That seems really extreme. And why haven't we seen that since? And in my study, just as I looked at it, in this moment in the church's life, this was like the infancy of the church. There was something about the unity that it would take for the early church to grow and to grow to a level where it could become what it is now, a worldwide movement. There was something. And I believe, personally, that God was keeping unity in the church at a time when disunity would literally have ruined what God was doing and what God was saying and how God was moving. And I believe it's worth it for individuals, but it's also worth it for a church that when things have to be corrected or moved in the pastor's life, in a parishioner's life, or when there's a divide in a church, it is worth the pain of fixing those issues, of being in alignment as a church body. Because if we're not in alignment, it's not going to move. And I believe this story is here because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was saying nothing is going to ruin what Jesus started. Nothing is going to ruin what the whole entire Old Testament was leading up to. Nothing is going to put a gap in between what I am doing and the people of the world. And I believe that that is why this story is found in the Bible. It's bizarre. It's a little crazy. Like, the people died. But I believe it shows the importance of our heart being aligned individually, but also our heart being aligned as a body, as a family. So incredibly important. But I believe verses 12 through 16, it all builds up to this one point, this moment. And it says, now signs, or many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people. Okay, so these two amazing things. A guy, his heart is perfectly aligned. At what we see in the word, we'd say it's right there. A couple who it's not. The people who are not, they are removed. That cancerous thing is removed. And all of a sudden, signs and wonders were regularly done by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Now, I find this interesting, and in how I read these words from the Greek language, it appears that none of the rest dared to join them. The rest, that would have been internal. That would have been family. That would have been like the church, the people that had already been a part of the church. There was a group of people who said, I think I'm out on this. I think people dying because of their sin, I think I'm going to kind of say, I'm good. So they may not have showed up. It said no one else joined them. Maybe that day, maybe as time went on, as the period went on, maybe they actually stepped away from the things of God. Because when God is moving and when correction is happening and when people are serious about the things of God, you either choose to be in or you choose to be out. When there's no middle ground, it's more difficult. Because it's easy to walk middle ground on issues, on politics, on church life, on spiritual life. It is much more difficult to say, Lord, I am all in, 100%. No matter what happens, I'm going your way. even if he asked me to do something, or even if Ananias and Sapphira were my friends, they're not even alive anymore. And all of a sudden, there were people who said, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I believe it's a reminder in our lives, we must stay focused on Jesus and what he's doing, because if I'm not aligned with his, when trouble comes or things I don't understand happen, or why did that person do this or say that, then it's so easy to not join, to stay away. But it says then in verse 14, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Something happened that there were people internal who said, I don't know if I want to get all in. But guess what the world said? The people that didn't know Jesus yet, when the church was all in, when the church was 100%, we're in with the things that your God is doing and we want to know about it, when miracles were taking place, when purity was there, when hearts were aligned, when people were all going in the same direction, people that didn't yet know Jesus, they said, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of what is happening. I want to be a part of the church. I don't even know what the church is about yet, but I want to know and I want to experience it. And they began to jump into what God was doing more than at any other time. And I guarantee you that they heard about Ananias and Sapphira. I guarantee you that they said, what? But they also said miracles are happening. They had to have seen change in people's hearts, in their life, in their behaviors. And when the church aligns with the thing of God, all of a sudden, the surrounding people in our lives begin to notice and say, you used to be really whatever. You can fill in the blank for yourself. But now you walk with peace and joy. You walk with love. You walk with encouragement. I've never seen that before. People begin to ask, and it's, I'm all in with Jesus. I'm all in with what he's doing. I'm all in. And hey, you want to come see something crazy? Just come to church with me sometime. Come down to Solomon's Portico. We will see something crazy happen. And I believe that's what should happen at Radiant Life Church every single week. Whether it's a miracle of someone's foot growing back or someone being able to walk that couldn't, or whether it's a group of people that are so unified that they feel the love of God, it's tangible because we say we're not letting anything divide us left or right from one another or from God. We will be in alignment with the things of God. And wow, it's fun to live. It's fun to serve God. It's fun to do anything when we are together. That's why Royal Family Kids Camp, the team that's going, above anything else, don't let another leader get you in a place where alignment is broken. Just fall on whatever the thing is. Someone's going to do something. Someone's going to say something. Someone's going to, you know, do or not, maybe not do something. And guess what? You be the bigger person. You bring them in. You bring unity. And if you do that, then this week of camp will be the best week of camp that there's ever been. Because when we're together, the Spirit can move, the power of the Lord can move, and miracles will be unleashed. And that's what I want to experience. That's what I want to see at Royal Family Kids Camp in your lives this week as you go to be ministers of the gospel everywhere that you go. God wants to move in his church. I believe a healthy fear of God aligns your heart for purity and unity that releases the miraculous through you to your world. Pastor Matt and the team, if you guys would come back up here. A healthy fear of God aligns your heart for purity and unity that releases the miraculous through you to your world. And I believe that this morning, God wants to finish this time. He wants to finish these moments. And he wants you to know that he's got you. He wants you to know that if you will align yourself to him, go through the pain of whatever it takes to align your heart to his, he's here, he's waiting. He's just waiting to pour his Spirit out upon you. May, she had earlier just a passage of scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I've added a few verses. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And I believe when we align ourselves with the Lord, God says he allowed enemies to take him. He allowed exile. But the people allowed exile. They exiled their heart long before they were in exile from a place, from their city or their country. And in our life, when we align ourselves with God, our heart becomes all his. Our heart is aligned as a family. And we have a heart of miracles. We can all of a sudden experience the power of God. And we're going to soak up the presence of God. Yuka this morning came up and just felt that she felt the presence of God kind of falling like a mist in this place. And I believe that we can soak up his presence. We can soak up his goodness. In a minute, I'm going to have Pastor Dave come and pray when we're ready to roll. He feels that God gave him just a word that there's going to be a healing this morning. But before we jump into altar time, before we come and pray, I want to give an opportunity, and if you say, I am not walking with Jesus, my heart is not aligned with his, you may have come to this church for 30 years, or this might be your first day, but if you say, my heart is not aligned with Jesus, I want my relationship with him to be new, I want it to be whole, I want it to be something where I could be called up before the church, and nothing could be found in my heart because it's all open to him. If you'd say, I want to do that, or maybe this is your very first time in a church, or maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, and this morning you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want him to take my sin. I want him to make me whole. I want what we saw on that screen for baptism videos, 11 of them. I want to be baptized the next time possible because I want to tell the world that I'm all in with the message of God. And if you'd say this morning, I need alignment. I need to align myself with him. If you'd say, I need to give my heart to him. If you'd say any of those things, I'm not 100% on the track that I feel God is calling me to. None of us are perfect, but I'm not headed there, and I need to veer back. Fall over this room. If you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. And then if you'd say, that's me. This morning, I want to offer everything. Will you just lift your hand to the Lord? Will you just say, that's me today? I want to get back on track. Would you say, that's me? I need to offer my heart. Yes. All over the room. Yes. Yes. I don't want to miss. This is for all. Anybody? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You say, I need to get back on track. I'm not where I need to be. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes, sir. All over this room's hands. And I believe in our hearts, we all want to align with him. We want to get on track with him. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open these altars. And I believe if you need God to do a miracle in your finances, in your relationship, in your work, or what are the relationships there, in your physical body, you need a miracle. You want to see wholeness. You need to see something happen. Or maybe you would even say, Peter, he uses pretty strong words, but I think I've been deceived. Satan maybe has even deceived me, and I need to get back on track. Then I'm going to open these altars. And we believe that God wants to heal and touch and restore. He wants to make new, and he wants to make whole. In fact, all over this room, would you stand to your feet? If you'd say, that's me, I need healing in my body, in my life, in some area. And you say, I want prayer, or I just want to come, and I want to intercede. I want to come and lay before the Lord or near before the Lord. Right now, in this room, would you just make your way to the front? Would you find a place that you can pray? Would you find a place that you can spend time in the presence of Jesus? Would you find a place where you can worship him? Would you find a place where you can let that soaking up of his presence take place in your life and in your heart? This morning, I'm going to ask Pastor Dave. He's going to come up. He's going to give his word, and he's going to pray over you. And I believe God is going to heal and restore. At any point, if you want to come find a place at the altar or wherever you are right now, please do that.
Every other morning, I go and do 3 miles in the park. And this morning, as I was headed across the street, normally the Lord speaks to me after I'm in the park a mile or so. I've been worshiping and exalting him. I wasn't 100 feet from my front door, and the Lord said, miracles. Today I'm going to do miracles. And it was like, I hadn't really started worshiping or anything. He just says, miracles. I'm going to do miracles. And the Lord said, there's going to be somebody that it's going to feel like oil running over them when the miracle comes to them. Not everybody, but there's going to be somebody here today that when you experience your miracle, it's going to feel like oil has been poured over you. And so if you need a miracle today, would you just come right now? Come right now. Step out. I believe God wants to do miracles. He wouldn't have given me that word if he didn't want to give you a miracle, if he didn't want us to experience it. And so if you want to experience a miracle, come and just stand across the front. Prayer team, come. Would you come?